Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from a basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the military. I've ran into a number of brothers who've been involved in the military at pretty high levels, and they are massively discouraged with what's going on in the military today. Things have changed so dramatically since the 1980s or 1990s when they enlisted that they are just overwhelmed. That there is a brother who's up for a brigadier general, and he walked away. I think it was over the vaccine issue. He is looking to head up a ministry now somewhere in the United States. Another brother, I met him in Texas at a conference 2 weeks ago, and very active in the Marines, and he said, does not recommend that any Christian enters the armed forces at this point. He comes from, I think he said, 3, 4, 5 generations of military involvement, meaning his great-grandfather, his father, his own sons enrolled, etc. But the bottom line is he's saying it's over. After this multi-generational involvement in getting involved in some of America's best institutions, now Christians who led, who were some of the most outstanding leaders in the American military, are backing away. The salt and light is leaving the military, my friends. That's exactly what's going on. The salt and light pulling back from the military. And the Air Force Academy diversity training tells cadets to use words that include all genders, drop the term mom and dad. This is from Fox News just this morning. No longer can they use the word mom and dad. They cannot use terms like grandparents or a grandfather, grandmother. Use words, they say, that include all genders, folks, y'all, guys, partners, no more ladies and gentlemen.
No boyfriend or girlfriend when they receive letters.
Not appropriate for the military these days. This is a slide presentation that somehow made it out of the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado, entitled Diversity and Inclusion, What It Is, Why We Care, and What We Can Do. Representative Mike Waltz, he is a Green Beret, an Afghan war veteran. He pointed out during an interview with Fox News Digital that it's been a tradition to the military to get letters from mom and dad or your boyfriend or girlfriend for as long as there's been a military. Now, we're instructing every cadet entering the Air Force to not say mom and dad, not say boyfriend or girlfriend. This kind of drive towards gender neutrality, I think the Air Force should be worried about the macroaggressions against America that are happening all over the world versus microaggressions. There are macroaggressions. America, of course, not fit at all to fight any war at this point. But then he says not only do they have diversity and equity officers in the cadet chain of command, they wear a special insignia, which is exactly what the political commissars would wear, an armband in both the Soviet Army and now in the Chinese Communist military. That is, there are those who are watching out for the proper speech, the proper alignment to these politically correct positions. And if you do not align well to these politically correct positions, if you're not towing the line at every single point, if you're not using the right pronoun for the transgender in your squadron, you're out of here. You're out of the game.
You're being purged. And Christians are being purged from all aspects of culture. It is very obvious, however, in the military.
More so than ever before, cadets were assured in this particular presentation that what's said here stays in this room. They didn't want anybody else to know what's going on, apparently, but somehow somebody got this report out to Fox News. And now, we're aware of the high-level diversity and inclusion training programs that graduates at the Air Force Academy are subjected to. Now, as I said, a high-ranking Marine, a homeschooling dad with a solid biblical worldview, is discouraging young people from entering the military at this point. Typically, the military has been the conservative holdout for a society, namely because they are supposed to preserve the nation from destruction. So that's one of the reasons why the military is the last of the footers in the foundations of a civilization or of a society. So at the point at which you have jettisoned the foundations, the footers of any given civilization, it's over. And that's, of course, why I wrote the book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, because Western civilization is over. And this is the coup de grace for Western civilization. Let's be clear about this, my friends. The military is not conservative anymore. The military is not preserving the nation from destruction. the military is contributing to the destruction of the nation by destroying sexuality, by destroying gender, by doing its best to undermine the very basic constructs of human society, which, as I understand it, to be mom and dad and apple pie.
Yeah. Can't say apple pie.
I'm sure you can't say apple pie anymore. No. Apple pie, by the way, very important to me.
Yeah.
Just want everybody to know that. I had a piece last night. Very good. But the point is that a human society without a mother and a father is not a society anymore. That's the end of a civilization, friends. And what's interesting here, again, is that the military is always considered to be the last holdout of conservatism for a civilization. Now, it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to Plato's Republic when he said children should belong to the state. You know, and that's exactly what's happening now. So this diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, I term it as DIE because it is the death of a culture.
Yeah.
It is now being brought into the military.
DIE, which is diversity, inclusion, and
equity.
Equity, right. DIE is the death of a culture. Well said, Bill. So keep in mind the DIE that's made its way into the U.S. Air Force Academy and everywhere else amongst the American military is the end of a culture. This is DIE. This is dead on arrival. Now, Christians have been the preserving salt to America's institutions. The Christians have always been the preserving salt to any institution or any civilization. Now, Christians are more likely to remove the preserving salt, to leave the institution of the military for more reasons than one. Let's talk about religious exemptions to the shot in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Wow. There is a purge going on in the American military, and it has been going on for about a year now. And we have not reported on this, and I feel bad about it, but here are some stats coming in just a moment. Friends, you would not believe how many Christians have been purged from the United States military. That next on Generations. Stay with us.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Also, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio. There is a purge going on in the U.S. military. They're purging Christians right and left. And much of it has to do with Christians who are holding out on the vaccine. That is, they're not willing to submit themselves, their bodies, to a medical experiment that has proven to be highly questionable and still is, and more so than ever, considered to be questionable. In fact, there has been some leniency provided by various nations and their associated militaries on the question of the vaccine or the shot. And yet it was slow in coming in the United States. Listen to this. The Air Force was extremely slow in allowing religious exemptions for the shot. Out of 500,000 men and women in the Air Force, 7,000 requests, get this, Bill, only 8 allowed by February of this year. Only 8 out of 7,000 religious exemptions among 500,000 who were receiving the shot in the U.S. Air Force. 7,000 requests, only 8 allowed by February this year. Now, the Department of the Navy, as of February 2022, had granted only one partial exemption to its COVID-19 vaccine mandate on religious grounds. Only one. And as of July of 2022, the Department of the U.S. Army had approved just 20 of over 8,000 requests. Now, think about the carnage that these have provided in terms of the removal of Christians from service in the U.S. military. Can you get your mind around this? This is a all-out purge. The vaccine/shot mandate became the context by which Christians were purged from the military, my friends. MilitaryTimes.org, Air Force Captain Jordan Carr, Army Major Samuel Sigaloff, and Air Force Master Sergeant Nicholas Cooper were interviewed. Here's what Carr said. If you are a believer and you are listening to this podcast, you need to understand that God-fearing service members are being intentionally purged from the services. Okay, here's Sigaloff. It's a purposeful purge. Anyone who would disobey an unlawful order is being purged out of the military, and there's a shadow policy in place that is protecting all of these people and enforcing their shadow policy. Since the beginning of this year, as most of the vaccine deadlines have lapsed across the services, roughly 3,400 troops have been discharged for refusal, service personnel officials told lawmakers on Wednesday. The vast majority of troops kicked out for COVID vaccine refusal received general discharges. About 70% of those have received general discharges, though the Navy has granted honorable characterizations to 798 sailors who have been kicked out so far. Most of the purged have been Christians. The best of the best eliminated from the armed forces. The most principled are now gone, with a few exceptions. 98% of the Army has been vaccinated. 98.7% of the Air Force has been vaccinated. Just a small percentage of Christians have held out and tried the religious exemptions. And my understanding is there is something of an opportunity right now. Almost 2 years too late, finally, the Marine Corps is suspending any administrative actions for certain Marines seeking religious exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine. That came out just 2 days ago. So finally, after 2 years, it appears that there's some breathing room for our brothers who are enlisted with the Marines, the Air Force, and some of the other parts of the U.S. military. So what can we say? Now, here's one of the applications I think we need to remember from history, and that is the Diocletian persecution of the 290s was the most severe in all of Christian history. It was a bloodbath. We're looking at 30% of Christians wiped out in the Diocletian persecution. Now, at that point, Christians were incredibly involved in various aspects of the Roman society, including the military. So Christianity was taking over the known world by the 290s. And that's one reason why the dragon's tail flexed as hard as it did. And I speak of Satan when I speak of the dragon tail. Diocletian was the worst. Okay, now, the first thing that happened, the Diocletian persecution, you read about in Eusebius, okay? First thing that happened was, well, guess what? They purged Christians out of the military. So I'm torn on this, Bill. You know I'm torn on this. I think Christians should remain in all institutions. And it's good to find Christians, strong Christians, standing on principle, even in the military. And when that happens, there is some safety for Christians, not just here in America, but all over the world, because there is some salt and light left in the military. And yet, Christians are being purged. And they're being purged by these policies, these inclusion policies, as well as the shot, the vaccine policies that have been so strongly imposed by the U.S. military services.
Yeah. Dr. Teresa Long just recently testified in a case, and she said that she was ordered not to discuss military medical data during her examination during her cross-examination. And the judge asked, ordered by whom? And she said she was told by high-level command not to bring up military data in her testimony. Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel then asked if the data was important and relevant. She said yes. And he said, well, why? Ms. Long was nearly in tears. She looked at the judge and said, I have so many soldiers being destroyed by this vaccine. Not a single member of my senior command has discussed my concerns with me.
Meaning these are medical concerns with the vaccine.
Medical concerns. And so this is a giant cover-up all over the place. She said she has pilots who have experienced severe distress because of this.
Hmm. Well, and the effect, of course, has been that Christians who want to file the religious exemption have been dismissed from the military, right and left. Well, so that's the first issue. Now, the second issue, and I want to continue on this for just a little bit. The definition of character is tied to one's worldview. And I think this is a good example of that. The military has always been an advocate of strong character. And so these lessons on the proper handling of the transgendered, those that prefer the use of a certain pronoun for themselves versus the pronoun that God gave them at birth, is an example of this kind of character that they want to impose. And so, you know, character is a matter of worldview. The list of words forbidden on this list that I find in the U.S. Air Force Academy's discussion on diversity includes the N-word, but and the F-word as well, but conspicuously absent is cursing and swearing in the name of God. That's completely legitimate in the American U.S. Air Force. Why? Well, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. It's quite okay to curse God according to these standards and curse others in the name of God, but don't use the N-word. Now, this places man above God. It's the wrong religion. It's the religion that deifies man and defies God. Right? That's what it's doing. It's deifying man. This idea that you can't use the N-word, but you sure can curse God all day long if you want to, is a religion that is deifying man and defying God. Another example of this came out this morning. The South Korean president was caught on hot mic using both the F word and a curse word. The curse word was spelled out on the Fox News story, but the F word was not spelled out. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, that means that there's no fear of God before the South Korean president's eyes. There certainly is no fear of God before the eyes of Fox News either. So you see, our society is quite okay with cursing God, but they're not okay with cursing men. And that's the difference, my friends. Now, it's also interesting that in U.S. history, character used to mean the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom. That's what character used to mean. Listen to this this policy that was signed by George Washington on August 3rd, 1776. So again, this would be the military's definition of character. Now, George Washington was a huge advocate of strong character amongst his troops. He saw that if character would lapse among the troops, then so would their fighting, so would their ability to defend the nation. And so this is what George Washington wrote on August 3rd, 1776. The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing, a vice hitherto little known in our American army, is growing into fashion. He hopes that the officers will, by example as well as influence, endeavor to check it, and that both they and the men will reflect that we can little hope of the blessing of heaven on our army if we insult heaven, as we insult God, by our impiety and folly. Added to this, it is a vice so mean and low without any temptation that every man of sense and character detests and despises it. Signed, George Washington, August 3rd, 1776. So what you see is the worldview that holds that God exists and he ought to be feared and reverenced was the worldview upon which this nation was founded. We're a far cry from this at the U.S. Air Force Academy today, Bill.
Yes, we are. And it is sad because language matters. Language sets the tone. Language reveals worldview. Language paves the way for a shift in worldview. And that's what we're seeing. And that's why this program to include diversity and to have inclusive language and have equity is so destructive, because it's changing the language of our culture.
And the values of our culture. Make no mistake about it, my friends. These are the leaders, and these are the quote-unquote conservative leaders of a nation. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Also interesting, on March 10th, 1778, at Valley Forge, General George Washington approved the dismissal from service of Lieutenant Frederick Enslin for attempting to commit sodomy with another soldier. This was what the president wrote on March 14th, 1778. Listen, At a general court-martial whereof Colonel Tupper was president, Lieutenant Frederick Gotthold Insulin of Colonel Malcolm's regiment tried for attempting to commit sodomy with John Monhort, a soldier. Secondly, for perjury. He was found guilty of the charges exhibited against him, being breaches of 5th Article, 18th Section of the Articles of War, and do sentence him to be dismissed the service with infamy. And he was drummed out of the camp on the morrow by the drummers and fifers in the armies, never to return. So again, values determine the character, or what constitutes character for the United States Army, all the way back to 1776. And the same thing applies today. But now Colonel Insulin gets to be the general. He gets to be the commandant. He gets to be the guy in charge. As the lesbian commandant of the Air Force Academy, served in that capacity for 2 years. But the fruits of such self-destructive, nation-destructing policies were obvious with this lesbian commandant of the Air Force Academy removed just 2 years after she'd been in office. An Inspector General report found Brigadier General Kristen Goodwin, former commandant of cadets at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado, failed to maintain a healthy command climate and broke multiple travel regulations. The Inspector General report substantiated allegations of improper travel practices, including conducting personal business while on official government travel and having a cadet charge some of her travel expenses to his government card while traveling to the red carpet premiere of Captain Marvel in Hollywood. So she puts that on a government card, not her card, but somebody else's card, because her card's been canceled. Well, on and on it went. One witness whose name was redacted from the case said, as soon as she came in, the cadet wing almost immediately became the most bizarrely toxic and mistrustful organization I've ever been a part of. So that's what happened when a lesbian was put in charge of the U.S. Air Force Academy in 2017. But here's the word that I want to throw out today, because it's a word we don't use as much as we used to, Bill, and it's called demoralization. It's one of the most interesting words of the English language because it has multiple meanings. Now, listen to this. These are Webster's definitions for the word demoralization. Number one, to cause to turn aside or away from what is good, true, or morally right, to corrupt the morals of an institution. That's number one. Number two, to weaken the morale of, to discourage, to dispirit. Number three, upsetting or destroying the normal functioning of something and throwing it into disorder. Now, what I'm saying is the one produces the other, which produces the other. They come together. They're a threefer. To demoralize is to cause to turn aside, to cause to be immoral, which is exactly what the training programs of the U.S. Air Force Academy are doing right now, to weaken the morale of. So to demoralize, to take away, to discourage from being moral, will also at the same time weaken the morale of the U.S. military and to upset or to destroy the normal functioning of a certain institution. All three of these denotative meanings apply directly to what's going on in the U.S. Air Force Academy. The U.S. government, its military, are doing three things at the same time. They're causing to turn aside or away from that which is good or true or morally right, corrupting the morals of a nation. And number two, they're weakening the morale of the U.S. Air Force Academy, discouraging, dispiriting the U.S. military. And three, upsetting or destroying the normal functioning of the military and throwing the whole thing into disorder. That's what happens with demoralization. And that's precisely what's going on with the U.S. military right now.
Right. Yeah.
It's demoralization.
And it all starts with forcing language, which then reflects a new worldview onto our soldiers.
And you demoralize the military, what happens to the nation? We're not ready to fight the Chinese. The Chinese are laughing at Americans. They're laughing at what America is doing in terms of its undermining its own society by way of destroying marriage, destroying sexuality, destroying gender, destroying sanity, and bringing about the utmost irrational approach to sexuality and the breakdown of human society and leading the charge in the American military academies. That, my friends, is what's going on right now. The military is demoralized by government mandate. And those that will not support the demoralization of the armed forces, they're out of here. They're cast out. So where do we take the salt now? Where do we take the salt now? If we leave the military, what do we do now? Well, my encouragement is stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Fight the educational war for the souls of our children. This is the last line of defense and ultimately the point at which we are corrupting our institutions. This is why the academies are the first ones to corrupt the institution. It's the universities that corrupt the universities and corrupt every other part of American society. It's the universities that corrupt the public schools. The public schools corrupt the masses. And they assure that the next generation are utterly destroyed. So how do we salvage this civilization? The only way to do it is to get your kids out of those public schools and fight the educational war over the souls of your children. This, I think, to be the last line of defense. Where do we take the salt now? We've got to bring out more salt. And the only way to create more salt is to disciple our children in our homes as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down, to bring a distinctly Christian worldview to bear and the education of our children. Bill, I think this is it. We don't have enough salt. Whatever salt we have was no good. It was cast out to the dunghill. So what we really need as a society is to create more salt. How do we do that but to disciple our children for the next generation? I see no other strategy.
I think there are ancillary strategies as well, and that would include those who have been purged, those Christians who have been purged from the military, need to seek public office.
There you go.
They're very aware of what's going on, and they need to seek positions of influence. They, like Matt Waltz, who have exposed this, can rise up and they can undo this damage. And by seeking public office, by seeking positions of influence, by taking their expertise and applying it in a different arena.
Find districts in which you could be elected, and disciple young men to be future city councilmen, future pastors, future House reps, senators. Certainly for certain conservative states where there would be some possibility of defending sanity, rationality, decent moral law. Disciple young men to be future leaders of the nation. Defend the islands of freedom with everything you got. Defend homeschooling. Defend the farms. Put your energy behind building godly families, godly churches. Don't give up on the local churches. Don't give up on the faith. Build family economies. Evangelize your neighbors. Disciple young men to be future leaders. And get ready for God's judgment on this nation. That, I think, is our marching orders. For now, friends, you can get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. The next edition is soon to be here in about 1 week. So get your copy of the new edition of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West at our website, generations.org. I've got the last chapter in which I analyze strategies for how we deal with a fallen civilization. What do we do now? Read the last chapter of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West to get a clue. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.